Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. And today, we're doing The Intern, which came out in 2015. This is a back-to-back episode, so considering these episodes are going to be uploaded at the same time, if you don't know which one to listen to first, I think it's going to be helpful to listen to Rush Hour 2 first. Not that it's going to be related, but it may contextualize maybe the energy that this one starts out with. Anyway, The Intern, 2015, it's a comedy drama. Its director was Nancy Myers, and it stars Robert De Niro, who plays Ben. Anne Hathaway plays Jules. Renee Russo plays Fiona. Other co-workers of Ben and Anne Hathaway, or Ben and Jules, are Adam Devine and Zach Perlman and Jason Orley. They play pretty much no-name characters, but they do have names. Andrew Rannells plays sort of like the chief operating officer of Jules's company. Christina Scherer plays Becky. She's the assistant of Jules, second assistant, first assistant, I don't know. And then we also have Anders Holmvik and Jojo Kushner, who play Jules' family. But Anders Holmvik is not actually Holmvik. I think that's his character's name in Workaholics. It's just Anders Holm, I think. Anyway, I think that's all the pertinent people. Is there anybody else that you think plays a significant role in this movie?
No, it's mostly.
Okay. Well, the summary of this one is that widowed Ben is bored of retirement. He has traveled the globe, and he's not keen on being a large part of his son's and his grandchildren's lives. To help fill the void in his life, he decides to partake in an elderly internship opportunity at a rapidly growing Brooklyn clothing startup called About the Fit. About the Fit is run by Jules, to which he's assigned, right? That's as part of his internship. He's Jules's intern. And Jules is a young, ambitious entrepreneur that loves her company, but she's married to the job, she's a huge chore, and she's openly derisive to her courteous and experienced old intern. Old intern being Ben. It's not like she had an intern to which she was derisive that caused that
person elderly to quit. Intern, not
her elderly intern. Yeah, yeah. Jules is struggling to balance her work and personal life, and the startup's investors think it's time to replace her, albeit only being 18 months into the life of the company, which is pretty short for a startup. She wrestles with this decision, along with its impact to her personal life, all with the unwavering and loving support of the endearing and wise intern, Ben.
Yeah. That's about it.
It's on the nose. No issues with my summary this time?
I mean, there's a couple. The characterization of Anne Hathaway's character.
Huge chore? You don't think she's a huge chore? Openly derisive?
You said Ben, like, wasn't keen on being a part of his son's and
for some reason,
life.
He doesn't go move to where his fucking grandchildren
live. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Like, he could do that, but I think he said that he felt like he leaned on them too much, and I think he, you know, he was someone who had an active social life in his area, so it seemed like he, didn't want to leave. But he also said that he did go visit them, so it wasn't like he was, completely abandoned. I think that was, like, one of the interesting parts of this movie is you could imagine, like, a different version where he just has no family and he's sort of all alone. But that's really not what this movie's about, so I thought that was sort of an interesting thing that they did here.
He chooses to go back to work despite being 70 years old. Presumably the house is paid off. Like, he has no financial need to go to this company.
Yeah, I don't even know if he gets paid.
It's an unpaid internship? Jesus Christ.
I thought so.
Holy.
And he seems very wealthy. Like, he has, like, a giant closet full of pocket squares and stuff. And a second bedroom that he lets the guy live in Brooklyn. I assume that's all expensive, so. I don't think, like, New York real estate is cheap, right?
No, yeah, I think he's well off. So, yeah. Well, I mean, maybe that's our first question. What are his motivations for partaking in this internship? Which you say is summarized in this opening, like, monologue that Ben records. It's a video cover letter for this shitty startup company. And in that, he apparently outlines his reasons for joining this company, which I think are flaky at best. I mean,
you know, he just needs something to do. You know, he's traveled the world.
He's so fucking bored.
He's taken classes. Yeah, some people, you know, and I think that's part of how his generation grew up too, right? Is he was he described himself as a company man, you know, so he was defined by his work. And it's interesting that it doesn't play that too heavy handed. You know, he's really dedicated to the job when he gets it. But you know, he has other interests and friends, and he's not sort of like, he doesn't seem to have like insecurities about having been retired. He's just bored, right? And his wife had died, and I think, yeah, he just said he felt bored being at home, so he got a job, you know, as an intern. The intern, even.
The intern. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he is the best intern.
He's the best. He's the best guy.
He is the best guy.
He's just the guy. Yeah.
Holy shit.
He's the ideal man. It's great.
Well, he's not very masculine, but he's willing to eat a lot of shit and be like...
He is very masculine, actually. I actually think the sort of way this movie does masculinity and femininity is really interesting. We'll talk about that at some point.
Okay. Yeah. So we know, okay, why he was interested in this flyer. Because on the street, he ran into Patty, who's someone we didn't list, but she's a horn dog who lives in his neighborhood that can't wait to get Ben into bed. And he's just like, I don't know, looking for a younger model.
No, he's just not that interested in her. They had like gone out, or it seems like they had dinner one night and maybe, I don't know, did something and, you know, 5 months ago and never again. And, you know, he didn't seem that interested in it, but.
So I guess that contributes to his reason for, he wants somewhere to be during the day that she can't get to him.
I think he just wants something to do, you know? I mean, a lot of this movie is about aging, right? It's about how the world is changing, and it's about finding a purpose for him. So I think that was, something. I thought it was pretty deftly woven in. I thought it was very well done.
Yeah. So we know why he started the internship, but after, I don't know, 2 days, why is he still in the internship, right?
Yeah, they don't give him much to do.
Yeah, and he's perfectly content there, right? You said he's a company man because he worked for the paper company or the phone book company that's now sort of like, you know, aged out, which you mentioned. But 40 years, he's a company man. But for some reason, he's willing to accept an internship where he just sits down at a desk among some people with whom he can't really relate because they're significantly younger than him. I guess they have love struggles and they have, you know, leasing struggles, and he's able to save the day because he's apparently the world's best guy. But like, he just sits there and he's perfectly happy to read his newspaper while not collecting a paycheck, because he'd rather sit in this office environment than literally do absolutely anything else in the world. Like, he's not constrained financially. He has family that he could be with. He has girlfriends he could be with. You know, but he's choosing to be at this startup.
Well, I don't think he has girlfriends. I think there's a woman interested in him that he's not interested in.
How do we know that's not the only one? I mean, he's a handsome-looking guy. He's successful. Why wouldn't he have many female suitors?
Say there's another one that's not established in the film. Just because
we don't see one doesn't mean we can't presume that there are multiple. I mean, this guy's a catch.
We could presume all kinds of things, I guess, if we're making stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, if he's the world's best guy, what are the chances he doesn't have another female suitor on the sidelines, you know?
I don't know. Maybe he's just not interested in them.
I guess. Why does he stay in the job? Because he meets Jules.
Yeah.
You know, she's very time oriented, right? She strives for efficiency, and that causes her to ride a bike through the office because it can get her from point A to point B very, very quickly.
That's one of the only things in the movie I think is a little bit stupid, is the bike.
What do you mean? Whenever she makes her assistant jog alongside her riding the bike, as the assistant's like,
that's,
hey, if you could just please fucking walk
it
this
doesn't
time?
Feel like that fits her character that well.
What doesn't? The fact that she hates everyone around her?
The goofy bike thing just seems like kind of out of place. Because it doesn't seem efficient. It seems sort of like straight out of Silicon Valley. It's just like, there's a goofy thing that tech people do. And it just doesn't, I don't know. It seems
She's a tech mogul?
It seems a little weird. Well, they have an e-commerce company, you know? So it's sort of that type of thing.
I know about them zany tech moguls, I guess. I didn't see her in that light because she's, you know, insufferable in many ways. But anyway, so the bike riding thing, like she says, meet me at 3:55. And then Ben shows up punctually at 3:55. And I think she's, is she late to her first meeting? Like, doesn't have time for Ben, doesn't give him the time of day. And she starts out, and her literal first communication with this guy, the first 2 minutes, is, hey, yeah, I don't give a fuck about you. They're just making me do this, and I have to put forth an image because they said we're going to do an elderly internship program. But you can just go fuck yourself. Go sit at that desk and piss off. Never talk to me again. Like, she's very disrespectful to her elders. You know, just a real charmer of an individual, you know? And that's why I characterized her as a huge chore and openly derisive, because it couldn't be more fitting.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the beginning she's definitely not super interested in, you know, working with Robert De Niro. She says that, you know, she's sort of forced into it. And, you know, I think she's a little overwhelmed by the company, you know, and I think that's part of the thing, why they want to bring in a CEO. And, you know, she's sort of dismissive of, what is it, Becky, her assistant, and, you know, learning to appreciate her.
Who has a degree from Penn.
She has, yep. Is sort of part of what they do. Oh, I'd say the only other thing I thought was a little goofy was like the questions they ask them, because like they do the build up. They're like, okay, this is one of our, you know, most telling questions. So really think hard. Where are you gonna be in 10 years? You know, and it's just like, come on, like that's a little too goofy. That's
oh, like, during the interviews.
Yeah, the guy has to be a little too stupid to ask that. And then right after he asks that, he's like, you know what, maybe we'll skip that one. Anyways, we'd love to hire you. And you're like, so that was like all just a joke, like you wanted to do, I guess. Sure. Yeah, okay, so but she's a little bit, I mean, she's difficult, right? She's, you know, particular, but she's not like mean-spirited. You know, I think that's part of the thing, right? She's very, you know, maybe a little exacting, but not in a mean way. You know, it's sort of interesting, like if you've seen like The Devil Wears Prada, right? You noted that here.
Yes,
which
I
is
did.
Like a different type of exacting boss, right? And was that made? That wasn't made by the same lady, was it?
Oh, Nancy Myers? I don't know.
That wasn't made by Nancy Myers, was it? I actually don't know. I don't think so. I think she's made a bunch of other movies, but I don't think she made that one.
No, 2006, David Frankel.
No, don't know who the hell that is. But, you know, it's sort of interesting. You know, obviously Anne Hathaway was in both of these. And I think, was she an intern in that one, or was she just like a junior or something?
She was the administrative. She was the second chair administrative assistant.
Okay, yeah, because Emily Blunt was the first one, right?
Yep.
And you know, this is a different type of exacting boss. You know, she goes to like the they go to the warehouse, and she's like really big on the packing of the thing. You know, which is sort of thing, and that's something he knows, right? She's really focused on the detail. This is her baby. You know, this is sort of something she's worked on, she cares a lot about it, and she's trying to, you know, manage that. It's been a lot of growth in, you know, the 18 months they've been building it. It's funny, at some point they said she started out with 25 employees. It's like, you kind of start out with zero employees.
Yeah.
It's weird to be like, we started out with 25, and now we have 219, I think. It's just like, I mean, you had none. You had zero. She's, you know, she started in her living room or something.
Well, did she have an idea, and then she bought a facility that had, like, I don't know, a distribution center and maybe like a couple office employees, and
yeah,
then
like
just grew
I
the business
know.
Over 18 months?
It's not explained. It's not super important. But I thought that was just like an interesting little, you know, not like a year ago we had 25 employees. It's like we started out with 25 employees.
Yeah, 216, I think, is the number they said in 18 months. Like, I just, what a record pace for hiring. And you got to figure it's exponential, right? So, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, they only had 100?
It's grown fast, yeah.
So everyone in the last 6 months, or half the people have been hired in the last 6 months? So no one knows what the fuck they're doing?
You know? Well, I mean, they're learning, you know? They're learning, they're building the plane as they go, you know? Sort of thing.
She is dedicated to the job, though. She's focused on the details, participates in customer service calls because that's important to the business.
Yeah, I don't
participates
know
in the packaging because she's focused on the details, and that's so part of the reason she doesn't have any time.
The customer service call she takes is for like a bridesmaid dress,
mm-hmm.
And the lady getting married in that is Rachel, and of course Anne Hathaway had starred in a movie in 2008 called Rachel Getting Married. So I don't know if that was meant to be a reference, but that was sort of cute.
Oh, nice.
nice little, you know, Easter egg there. He goes to work for her, and, you know, she's a little hesitant at first, but then he sort of works his way, you know, into her confidence, and they, you know, become a great team together, I think, is what we see.
How would you say he goes about working into her confidence? I mean, he seems to just, like, waste time in the office reading the newspaper. He's content doing that for a few days.
Well, he's there when she needs him, though. That's the thing. She says she won't need him much, but when she does need him, he's there. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, while he's sitting there doing nothing, he goes around to other people, right, and he starts harassing them at their job.
Well, he assists them with that job.
Oh, assist them. Okay. Yeah.
Like, he helps the lady with the mail, and then he helps all the boys with their personal problems.
Yes, life problems, not work problems. Yeah. But Bumper is not an intern. He's the leader of the interns, right?
Yeah. I think the only interns are, like, those four people. Or no, those are the senior interns, and then there's Davis and the other guy who Davis might be one of the... Davis is, like, the regular intern, and then there's, like, a couple old... There's, like, an old lady and, like, an Asian man, and then some other guy, I think.
But the other elderly interns are sort of non-characters.
Yeah, I think the lady comes back for one scene, but yeah.
And Zach Perlman Davis, he says he was the only intern.
Yeah, the regular intern. They only had one spot for a regular intern.
Why do you think they limited unpaid intern spots?
I don't know. They just, well, you know, interns are not supposed to be helping you, right? They're supposed to be people you're, you know, teaching. So it's supposed to be work for the company to have internships.
Oh, I thought it was a mutually beneficial relationship.
Well, they're not supposed to replace any employees.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, you only have limited capacity to, like, actually train people and do whatever. So you can't just have unlimited people, I guess. I don't know.
I guess I view internships as an opportunity for your lower level employees to get some supervisory experience to determine whether or not they're ready for the next level, and to give them coaching and mentorship opportunities. It's more of a development thing for your people than it is for the interns. Like, the interns are just benefiting, right?
But you only have so many people that can, you know, be doing that work at any given time, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, I don't think any company has unlimited interns.
Why didn't they give Becky an intern? Becky seems to be swamped with work, you know?
Yeah, Becky, like, was swamped. And then Ben later helps her, you know? So that was very nice of him.
Yeah, he avoids his responsibilities, which are nothing, and help Anne Hathaway, right? And he insists on butting into other people's business, specifically Becky.
Yeah, he's very, very helpful. And Anne Hathaway asks him to help Becky.
Oh, she does? Okay. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I guess that's within the purview of his internship, then.
He's doing whatever Anthony Hathaway says. So.
Yeah.
He's her intern.
Yeah, helps Adam Devine get laid with Becky. I don't know. Hits on the masseuse.
The masseuse hits on him.
Is that hitting on him? I think Anne Hathaway hits on him more than the masseuse hits on him.
By sending the masseuse? That's another one of the weird scenes, is when it's like, oh my god, he's getting a boner.
Another one of the weird scenes? Another one. Okay.
Yeah,
so
there's a couple weird scenes, I think. I think this movie has, like, a weird, like, anytime they try to do, like, sexuality, I feel like this movie gets a little weird.
Yeah, what are they, 0 for 2? No, 0 for 3.
What, I don't know, what are the three?
Shit, 0 for 4. Okay, whenever Renee Russo is first meeting Ben, she's giving him a back rub, which, you know, maybe this is a feature of startup companies. And
yeah, that's
something
like
that,
a tech thing, is like in-house masseuses.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, you're not supposed to make physical contact outside of handshakes with your coworkers, in my experience.
Well, if you're the in-house masseuse, I think it's sort of... You're allowed to.
Yeah.
It is so, weird. She just comes up to him and starts doing it before.
Starts giving him a rub down.
She
right?
says anything. She just starts rubbing his shoulders. You're like, what the hell is this?
And he's really enjoying it. And on either side of him are Bumper, who's the leader of the interns, and Aaron, who's the regular intern, the only regular intern. And as he's getting this rub down, I guess he gets a noticeable boner, which Adam Devine and Aaron, like, point out and laugh at, and then hand him a newspaper to put over his cock because it's erect and it's, like, causing a scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird as shit. Whenever Jess, I played it back for Jess because she saw the other one, and she's like, what the fuck is this scene? She was appalled. She was like, this doesn't feel like Nancy Myers. Nancy Myers did Something's Gotta Give. This isn't her character. I'm surprised that this fucking happened in this movie.
Yeah, that was a little goofy. I don't know why they need to do the whole boner thing, but yeah.
It was weird as shit. And then the other sex scene. Okay, so that's one where it was just fucking weird.
To be clear,
there
were no sex scenes in this movie.
Correct. There were like sexual scenes.
Yeah, okay.
Sexual scenes. Okay. So that's 0 for 1. I think it's like if your coworker had a boner, Why would you point it out to another coworker and like laugh about it with the coworker that got the boner? It's just, it's fucking weird. All right. So
but
second
we're on
one.
The same pitch.
Yeah. Second one. Rene Russo is giving Ben another rubdown, but in a closed door office. And she's like rubbing his legs. And from a camera angle perspective, if you were to walk in, it kind of looks like Rene Russo's giving Ben a BJ, right? So Aaron, of course, does that at the worst possible time. And then just like...
Because he walks in, he doesn't give anyone a BJ.
Yeah, yeah. He walks in, sees what he thinks is Rene Russo, the house masseuse, giving Ben a BJ, and, you know, just like startled, walks out.
That scene was also silly. I didn't think that was.
And I think there were two instances where Anne Hathaway is trying to have sex with her husband, Anders.
Yeah, there's at least one.
Where she goes, her literal line is, "Do you want to Netflix?" Which is their, I guess, personal euphemism. It's like a derivation of Netflix and chill. They just say, you want to have sex? You want to Netflix?
Is that when they're already in bed together, or is that a different one?
Yeah, yeah. She goes, "You want to Netflix with me?"
Oh, really? I didn't even catch that.
Yep, that's her. That's how she has. So anyway, and he's like, "Nah, I'm good." And then later on, she
is that when he's
his...
like, "I'm so." He's like tired from.
Yeah, 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 he's tired. And then there was a fourth interaction where she reaches for his dick and he just, like, he's also tired. And he's like, "Nah, I gotta get up early," or something.
Okay, and, so that's the one I remembered, is when they were in bed and she sort of starts reaching for him.
Yeah, she goes, "Anybody home?" And he goes, "We'll try tomorrow," or something. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do it tomorrow, I think.
And then I maybe if you count whenever Anne Hathaway's in the hotel room, this is toward the end of the movie, but she literally invites Robert De Niro in while she's wearing a bathrobe. And it reminded me of the scene in The Office where the one worker is trying to, like, seduce Jim.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that scene. But anyway, yeah, she, like, invites him in, says, "Yeah, why don't you lie down on the bed? I'll go sit on this chair over here." And Ben's, like, trying to be platonic about the whole thing. This is his coworker. This is his boss.
This is boss.
Right? Let's have some fucking sense of professionalism about us. But they're both in robes, and she's like, "No, I'll sit on that chair over there." So then he gets on the bed, and then she also gets on the bed, and he's like, "Whoa, what the fuck are you doing? I'm kind of seeing Rene Russo." And she was like, "Oh, no, I just need to lie down too." And it's like, in that scene, if it weren't for the music in the background, you would think that she's coming on to him. Like, everything about her is her conveying to him that she's keen on boning, you know?
Yeah, if they were doing different things, but they have a platonic relationship. They're just, you know, he's uncomfortable with it because he's a very, you know, proper guy. But, you know, she just needs someone to be able to, you know, connect with in a platonic way. You know, she doesn't have a lot of friends. She calls him.
She's got a real fucking weird way of going about it.
Yeah, she was a little weird about it. I think she acknowledged that.
I mean, she's trying to have sex with her husband, which is an appropriate thing to do. Still does it weirdly, gets shot down. So, like, she clearly
weirdly. Her husband just isn't interested.
I mean,
he's just tired. I don't know. She's
just
like,
take your shirt off. Just take your shirt off, Anne Hathaway. You know? There you go.
I feel like that would have been weirder. I don't know. She was just like, "Do you want to have sex?" And he was like, "No, I'm too tired." And she was like, "Oh, okay." She was disappointed. I don't know.
Yeah. So, weird sex scenes throughout the movie. But anyway, so where were we?
Again, no sex scenes, but yes.
Weird sexual scenes. The sexuality of this movie is fucking weird. So we were back on Ben doing absolutely nothing and just annoying everyone in the office.
Again,
the world's
not annoying
worst intern.
Anyone, helping
I'm
them,
just
and they all love him.
they
all talk
all
about how
him.
Much they love him.
They revere him. He's a wise sage, you know.
Yeah, he's the ideal gentleman from a different age.
Yeah, yeah, I can't fault him there. Like, yeah. He's willing to eat so much shit from this fucking chore of a person.
Again, she's so sweet. She's so lovely.
She's so sweet and lovely.
This is such an interesting movie, because, like, would this movie work, which it obviously does, with any other actors? You know,
it
especially
would work better,
in the lead roles.
Yeah, it would work. Okay, for Robert De Niro, maybe. I think maybe if Tom Hanks were playing this character, he could do it. Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know if he could play, like, this sort of, not, like, repressed, but sort of, like, proper gentleman in that, like, sort of the rigidity of that as well. That I think De Niro does so well.
This is 2015. I mean, Tom Hanks at that point, you know, could definitely play the mature, retired guy.
But, like, he doesn't have that same, like, I don't know, sort of, like, guy. Like, that sort of dress-in-a-suit company man guy, I don't think.
What?
I don't think Tom Hanks has that.
I think that's well within his repertoire. I think Tom Hanks is a better actor than Robert De Niro.
I don't know. I think this is as close to a perfect performance as you can get. I don't think this works at all with anyone other than Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. Okay. It is predicated on loving Anne Hathaway. So if one does really, really love Anne Hathaway,
right,
then I could see how this movie would be, it would work more. But if you're just kind of, like, indifferent to Anne Hathaway and just acknowledge the fact that she's a female, this movie, you know, her character sucks.
I think this movie makes it impossible to be in. Like, it's hard to watch this movie and not fall in love with Anne Hathaway. She is just so amazing in this.
So amazing?
So
what are
amazing.
You talking
her
about?
Her character is just so wonderful.
Okay, so if you're head over heels in love with Anne Hathaway, then you can
had you never seen an Anne Hathaway movie before, and you watch this, you would leave being head over heels in love with Anne Hathaway. Because of, like, this performance.
That's unreal. I mean, starts out unlikable.
It's unreal,
and has
absolutely.
Very,
it's unreal.
Very little growth throughout the whole movie.
She has so much growth.
She remains unlikable.
No,
the entire
she
time.
Is so nice.
She's
learns to appreciate people more. She learns to, like, own her, you know, what she's doing even better. Like, I don't know.
She tries to seduce her interns.
She absolutely
she's
doesn't.
She's derisive seduce, toward her assistants
doesn't,
and everyone
no,
else in the
she
company.
She learns to appreciate and show appreciation for her assistants.
She sent. Okay, she sent an email. She literally spent, like, multiple instances drafting an email to her coworker to talk shit on her dragon lady mother, and then at the last minute accidentally sends it to her mother instead of the coworker.
Yeah, her mother's quite mean.
Her mother's not quite mean. Her mother's just sick of being shit on by Anne
Hathaway. Her mother's really rude
shitting
to
on
her.
Everyone in her life.
Her Anne mother
Hathaway,
like, insults her when she's like, oh, you know, the website says, she's like, I guess I don't go to your website. It's just like, why are you undercutting your daughter? She's an amazing entrepreneur, and you're just acting like nothing she does matters.
She could be more supportive of her daughter.
She
that
couldn't
is true.
Be less supportive. She was just I did a study about how you're going to be old because you don't sleep as much. You're going to be ugly, Anne Hathaway. And everyone's like, okay, guys. Okay.
Yeah, so then in response to her sending this email to the wrong person, right?
Yeah.
She sends it to her mother, who has a very, like, anti-check your email throughout the day policy.
Yeah, she does some batching. You know, she only checks it once a day.
Yeah, she checks it promptly at 5 o'clock. So Anne Hathaway's solution to sending the email to her mother was to get her employees
clear, that's she doesn't send them to steal the laptop.
She doesn't send them to steal the laptop.
Well, she wants them to hack into the email.
Remotely, is what
yes.
you're saying. Okay. And when they realize that won't work.
Yeah. Ben's
then
like,
what,
here's what
who,
we do. I'm the problem solver. I'm a problem solving
this?
Guy. Yeah.
And she lets it happen?
Yeah, absolutely.
She's just not like, oh, well, rather than my employees break into my mother's house, you know, I'm not going to intervene here at all. I'm going to let you handle this fucking problem for me because I'm a piece of shit, right? And I'm going to let you go over and solve
she
this.
She sent a mean email, and then she realized it, and she didn't want to upset her mother. And her employee offers a solution, and they do it, and then she's very appreciative of them.
Why does she let them do it?
Because she didn't want to upset her mother.
I get that.
But do you get that, though?
She doesn't want to upset her mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. then fucking do it yourself. If the solution to the problem is to break into the mother's house, then Anne Hathaway should either grow up and take her lumps and be like, yeah, Mom, I sent some fucking hate email to my coworker because you're such a piece of shit and I'm a piece of shit, right? She either goes that route or she breaks into her fucking mother's house herself, right? Like, don't have your fucking interns commit felonies for your sake.
Oh, he especially offered to go because he's the problem solver. He's her guy. You know, I think that's what's so lovely of this movie is he's always in her corner, you know?
He really is.
It's so nice, right? Isn't that such
unfathomable?
A nice thing?
I cannot understand.
To have someone in your corner in the way that he is for her?
It would be, but no one would be.
Well, I think there are people in the real world who are like this, and maybe they're just underappreciated. You know, if you think hard enough, I think you can imagine someone like this, and they don't get appreciated in their time, you know? For whatever reason. Just real stand-up guys.
Yep. No doubt about that. Ben's a stand-up guy. Yep. It begs the question, why? Like,
some people are just nice guys with good morals who are really helpful.
Yeah, really committed and willing to commit burglaries and felonies in order to, I don't know, be helpful.
There's no one you would commit a felony for to be helpful?
There's probably a few people, but it's not going to be the fucking boss that I just got after a week.
I think I would, in this current day, commit a felony if Anne Hathaway asked me to.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
you wouldn't either, so I don't know what the hell we're talking about.
But the only reason... No, I wouldn't. For Anne
you
Hathaway?
Oh, come on.
No. Why would I commit felonies for Anne Hathaway?
She's so charming. She has so much charm.
The question is, why would fucking Ben? Why would Ben do shit for Anne Hathaway? He's only known her a week.
Because he's her guy. That's the great thing. He's just her guy. He was assigned to her. He's a company man. He's her guy. You know? The lack of transactionalism is what makes it so beautiful. You know? He's just her guy. She has this problem that needs to be solved. He's her guy, you know?
Her assistant has a problem that needs to be solved.
He's her guy.
He's her guy.
He's everyone's guy.
He's everyone's guy. He really is.
He's especially her guy, but he's everyone's guy.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's just wonderful.
Yeah. So another thing that happens in the movie is there's like this table that has a whole bunch of boxes on it. And everyone views this table as like a dumping ground. It's literally like, I don't know. It's not a dumpster, but it's full of garbage.
It's like a junk drawer, but it's a table.
Yes. Okay. So she constantly has her eyes on it, but it's like beneath her to actually go over and do something about the junk.
No, she just hasn't found the time. She mentions that.
She hasn't found the time. But like other people in the company, as they're walking past, like she literally witnesses people walking with a box of shit and puts it in on this junk drawer table. And she's just like, oh my God, would you look at it? Another one on the junk drawer.
Yeah, she's like, frustrated, but she just hasn't been able to find the time to clean it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we can all imagine things in our life we know we should do and we just haven't found the time. And we just, you know, we see the problem getting worse sometimes. We're like, oh God, I wish, you know, but we just don't find the time.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Because she's really stretched for time, right?
She's stressed. She has a kid. She has a husband. She just started this company. It's growing. She's trying to manage the growth.
She's got a kid and a husband and a mother whom she wholly neglects.
She doesn't like the mother that much. The mother's
not very
supportive.
For the sake of customer
service
calls, because nobody else can do that.
Well, no, other people can do it. She just wants to be involved at every level to make sure everything's running efficiently. And I think it pays off. That's why All About the Fit succeeds, I think. You know?
Because of her minor involvement with the occasional customer
service
call.
Because her attention to detail. And you know, you just said cleaning the table. Nothing's beneath her, though, right? The packing isn't beneath her. The customer. Nothing's beneath her. She wants to be involved in every aspect, you know, because this is something that she's cared about. You know, she made this. And I think that's admirable. It's one of the things that makes her character so charming.
Yeah. So anyway, the concept of this junk drawer table is introduced to give Ben an opportunity to be her guy again, right? Yeah. So after about a week of him doing fucking absolutely nothing to contribute toward the company, you know, he comes in, clocks in at whatever 8 or 9 o'clock, and then waits until closing time and then leaves. And I think later on, he starts waiting for the boss to leave in order for him to leave.
Well, he says that early on. He says, never leave before the boss leaves.
Yeah, so he's willing to do that. He's willing to sit in this chair and read the newspaper. It's literally just one newspaper, I think. Because he doesn't, like, you could get through a fucking stack of newspapers if you just had 14 hours a day, right? Because she's a workaholic. She's yeah. she's at the office a lot. And if he's not leaving until she does, and it's like, you know, 9, 10 p.m. by the time she leaves, then he's got a
these
good
are long days he's working. At
long
his age.
Fucking days doing absolutely
nothing. But you
know what
the thing? He's her guy.
He's doing stone nothing. Okay,
he's
so then,
the intern.
Yes, he's the intern. So yeah. that sets him up to actually do something about this table, mm-hmm. right? Because he eavesdrops and notices that she wants something to be done about this table, just can't get to it.
Does someone tell who says does Becky tell him the table? Who tells him the table is like a problem for them? Do you remember?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. But his solution to this, because he's the guy, he's the intern, he comes in early. Like, and whenever it all comes to pass, she comes in, sees the table. It no longer has any shit on it, right? And she's like, how did that table get cleaned off? And somebody's response was, Ben came in early at 7 to clean it off. And it's just like, you didn't need to come in early, Ben. Why the fuck come in early? You could have just done it during one of the other 14 hours you were sitting around doing dick all fucking day.
Well, I think it, you know, it needed to be clear to him that it was the problem. I don't think he was aware that it was a problem the whole time. I did think it was funny though, like, they act like they were like trying to think of a really early time, and they're like, he came in at 7 a.m. It's like, yeah, like that's a normal, that's not like, it's not if like he came in at 4 o'clock this morning to do it. It's like he came in like, you know, a few minutes early and banged it out. It's like, okay, like, sure. Yeah,
but he only had one task before that, and it was to take something to the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
In 40 fucking working hours, he did one thing to mm-hmm. travel to the dry cleaners. He didn't need to come in early. He could have just done it the next day during normal fucking business hours.
But he came in at 7 a.m. and did it.
He's a go-getter. He's
and
a
you
real
know why?
Man.
He's her guy.
He's the guy. Yeah, he's you the know? Fucking guy.
Well, he's okay. her guy.
He's her guy.
Yeah.
Does he say that? Does that come up?
No, but he's her intern. You know,
does he say that though?
She's assigned to him. Guy? He's okay. a company man.
He's a okay.
She's
good.
It's her company.
This is good. This is good. Okay. So yeah, in response to that, Ben got a he got a bell ring for cleaning the desk,
yeah,
which
they
is
ring
good.
The bell when something's good.
Did he have a boner then? No, the boner was in the next scene. I'm not sure if the well, bell
yeah, that,
contributed
that was
to his
that
boner.
Was his reward for cleaning the desk.
Yes, yes. Real Pavlovian sort of office environment.
They said massage is whatever you clean the desk.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. What else? More just her being the worst.
She's not the worst. So I think we so the conflict of this movie, as much as there is one, is that the investors want to replace her as CEO. So throughout
yeah, makes
the movie,
total sense.
She has to meet with a bunch of CEOs, and she's very upset by this. And I think this is such like this is like one of the things that I think makes this, you know, such an amazing movie, is her scene with Andrew Reynolds, which I don't know his name, Cameron maybe?
Was that yeah, one Cameron.
You know, when he's telling her that they want to find a CEO, you know, and I think there's so many ways you could go with this as like a writer or an actor. But like her, like she's so hurt by it, you know, and she's like vulnerable. It'd be like very easy, I think, to make this character. Like, I think sometimes when they try to make like, you know, tough characters, especially in like a business setting, they tend to make them like, you know, sort of masculine as like a way of, you know, she's like a real girl boss, but she's like very vulnerable and feminine in a way that I think is like a really interesting choice, and I think really makes this like an interesting take on this type of character, because she's really hurt by the idea that they want to replace her. You know, she like mentions that like Zuckerberg, you know, didn't have to get replaced, but she doesn't, it's not like she's like doing this defiant like you know, gender comparison, really. It's just like it really hurts her that they don't think she's doing a good enough job. You know, she really cares about this, and she thought she was doing well, and she's just like hurt by things. And I think that's, it's interesting to show people who is sort of like emotionally vulnerable. I don't think you see that because I think people think it, you know, undercuts strength, you know, but I think we see here that it doesn't because she's like a very strong character who's also, you know, vulnerable in I could think a very feminine way. And I think, you know, being played by Anne Hathaway just like allows that to come through so well.
Yeah. So Ben interrupts the meeting and sees her vulnerable.
To be, well, he's sent in to get her jacket, which she is wearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you keep making it sound like Ben's just doing random shit rather than just doing exactly what he's told.
This was his first task after yeah. many business days.
And he was on duty. He was ready and go.
He's on standby.
You know, I think there's something really, you know, remarkable about someone who doesn't need to be at the center, you know?
Just kind of in the shadows?
Well, not necessarily in the shadows, but he's not like a, you know, because he's not like a, you know, a chess master, you know, like a puppet master or anything. But he's just there, you know? He doesn't need to. He goes around and helps when needed, but he's not trying to impose at all. He's like very cognizant of the fact that this isn't about him, you know? Even when he's asked to help, he tries not to run over people. You know, he tries to not speak out of turn. I think, I don't know, that's, I think there's something interesting about that. You know, the character who is, he's like no nonsense, but he's not necessarily like take charge. You know, like he'll solve a problem if he sees one.
Are you serious? Not,
yeah, he doesn't like commandeer the whole operation, you know?
Are you fucking kidding me? Okay, so he relates to Becky and he's like, oh, Becky, you have a degree from Penn. That's really unfortunate. And, you know, Anne Hathaway shits on you too, like she does everyone else in this company. I feel bad for you. I'm going to do something about that and try to, like, hint toward Anne Hathaway that, you know, maybe she should choose to not be a piece of shit to you because you're not a piece of shit, you know?
When you say not be a piece of shit, what he tells Anne Hathaway is that Becky worked hard and she should make sure she makes her appreciation known.
Yeah, and he, like, interrupts the meeting that has 10 people in there, presumably, you know, lots of salary expense getting mm-hmm. wasted. But he comes in, barges in, says his yeah. shitty business opinions about whatever fucking bullshit chart he's looking at.
He used to work in advertising, and Anne Hathaway assigns him a task, which he does, and then gives his brief synopsis, and she's very happy to have that.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my god, this is great. And he's like, yeah, Becky worked on it too. She really contributed a lot to this analysis. And she's like, awesome, thanks. Can you get the fuck out of my office? Because I hate you. And he's like, no.
She loves him. They're very good friends at that point. He's gotten her trust at that point in her esteem. And then he uses that esteem to make sure Becky gets the credit she deserves.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what? Maybe you should not be a piece of shit toward your employees, and you should actually give credit where credit's due.
Well, I think what he says is, even if you appreciate your employees, it's important that you tell them that, because sometimes they'll still feel unappreciated, even if you know internally how much they do. So, yeah, so it's great that you acknowledge that to me, that Becky did the work, but you need to acknowledge that to her.
Yeah, so he's mm-hmm. just walking around doling out unsolicited advice. Wise, though, you know, it's good
advice. Because he's her confidant now, and he's helping her, you know? Because he's her guy.
Why was everyone, like, looking over Anne Hathaway's shoulder? It's like they couldn't fucking print out multiple versions of whatever they were doing. Were they looking at a computer? Was this the Zoom issue?
Yeah, I think that was an issue, right? Working on the Zoom issue. No, this was like an advertise. I think, no, this is when they were looking at stuff like going in and out of the carts, right?
Oh,
something
got removed
from the cart. So they're looking at like a dashboard.
That's a real productive waste of time.
You have a lot of critiques for the way they run this business. You should have been the CEO.
I wasn't asked to be interviewed, but I could have done a better job than Anne Hathaway.
Well, I don't know. She's
stopped being a piece of shit.
I mean, her attention to detail and her, you know, everything she puts into it, you know, it doesn't seem like you hold it in the same regard. That's fine.
I might not be as pretty as Anne Hathaway, but I, you know. Anyway. They were like looking at a map of the United States, and I guess they could see in real time people putting things into and out of their cart. And in response to that, they're taking like real time analysis to say like, oh, whatever item they had in their cart, maybe we were charging too much for shipping. Look into that. And it's like, there's better ways to do that. You know, you can probably analyze all that shit. There's all sorts of data that's collected in internet fucking sales businesses, which I'm sure you're aware and you could articulate better than me. But like, you could do that on the back end. You don't need to do that in real fucking time. That's a complete fucking waste of time, especially for 10 of your employees to be huddled around a goddamn computer doing it simultaneously. So maybe that's why the investors want to fucking replace her as CEO, because she condones that sort of shitty behavior.
But they're very successful, you know? So, you know, in the important part of the scene is obviously Ben walking in and, you know, telling her she needs to show her appreciation for Becky more. So I think that's what we really want to focus on.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you disregard the remainder of the scene and all the things that it connotes, then yeah, if you just focus on the plot point and what advances the story.
Yeah, I think if you focus on the relationship, plot, yeah, and the relationships,
yeah. You just disregard, dismiss all the details and all the things that contribute toward the scene.
Well, the details
as a whole,
are what make this movie. The details.
She's focused on the details.
That's what's so fantastic about this movie, I think.
Yeah, what other details?
What are the details?
Yeah, I mean, was it the boner scene?
No, I don't think, again, we've talked about the boner scene. I don't think that was great, but I think it's really the contours of their relationship, you know? You know, in how, you know, Anne Hathaway and Robert De Niro, Ben and Jules, right? And, you know, how much they, you know, both grow from that, right? And I think, you know, there's a lot of ways. I mean, we talked about, you know, I think you said he was very feminine, but I think in a lot of ways he's like a, you know, he's like a very masculine guy, right? Like when he sees the guy drinking, he goes, he solves the problem. He's not overly confrontational. He just says, listen, you can't be driving here. You know, why don't you take the day off or whatever, you know? And the guy,
I didn't say feminine.
You said he wasn't very masculine, but I think he was, yeah, he was, I think, you know, he had a certain type of masculinity that was really interesting, you know? You know, he was like a little bit, you know, buttoned up and rigid. And he, you know, he's like uncomfortable with Anne Hathaway later on, but yeah, I think, you know, he's good with the kids. You know, I think that was a lot of fun, right? He's not afraid to be a little silly. So, you know.
Yeah. He's a good dude. Not taking that against him.
But I don't think, you know, I don't think he's not masculine. I think it's just like an interesting portrayal of like a masculine guy.
Yeah.
And his problem solving approach, I think, is great. You know, I love like the directness, but without being, you know, sort of overbearing in that way. It's like a tough balance to strike, and I think they,
yeah, it's commendable.
They found it really well. I mean, it's, you know, it's tough to write this character without it being a little ridiculous, and I think they did such a great job.
Well, so at this point in the movie, when does he get the 5:30 morning call from Becky?
Well, that's after this, because he's the driver, right?
Oh yeah, because he drops her off. Yeah. So, I mean, could you imagine if you were an intern and got a 5:30 call from your office saying, can you go fucking pick up the boss at 7:45 nonetheless? Like, why wouldn't you just say, can you fucking, your whole company, go fuck yourself? Tell Jules to go fuck herself. She's a real piece of shit.
I think you missed the part earlier, though, where he's her intern. He's a company man.
Yeah, he's willing to literally do absolutely anything. He is unwavering in his support for her.
Isn't that so beautiful?
It's something.
You know?
I wouldn't say it's beautiful.
It's such a beautiful relationship.
Could you just fathom having an internship? Like, you're a 70-year-old, right? You're done with your career. You're well-experienced. You're established.
And you've given new purpose.
Really smart, right? You know? You're experienced with all this shit. Could probably be the CEO. Like, I was hoping that was where this movie was going, but it didn't. But anyway, yeah, like, you get a 5:30 call. I mean, you're probably up at 5:30 if you're 70, but if you're not, you get a fucking 5:30 call from the assistant, not even Jules. You get a call from the assistant saying that, you know, the driver guy is a drunk, and, well, she doesn't know that, but can't get a response from the driver. You got to go pick her up in 2 hours and 15 minutes. Why does he not immediately say to Becky, hey, Becky, you need some fucking Xanax, you know, like, because Xanax is a concept that's introduced later in the movie by Anne Hathaway. So, like, you need some fucking medication for whatever you have. And, you know, maybe I don't need to have 2 hours and 15 minutes notice to pick up Jules. Like, if Jules isn't picked up, does she not have a car of her own? Can she not fucking, like...
Well, if you were paying attention to the details, she doesn't have a driver's license.
Yeah, but this is New York City. Like, get a goddamn cab if she can't. If you don't call your fucking intern.
She doesn't need a cab because she has a driver.
Don't call your fucking intern 2 hours and 15 minutes before he's supposed to be somewhere that he doesn't know he's supposed to be
Becky's
somewhere.
Becky's the one who called him.
Yeah.
And now he does. And he doesn't mind because he's her intern.
Like, Becky is letting Anne Hathaway influence her behavior. I don't have anything against Becky outside of this fucking early morning call. But if you're allowing your boss to let you become a piece of shit, then I think then you're a piece of shit for that, you know? You should probably fight against that.
Well,
because I've been in situations where people have said, you know, you should do X, Y, and Z. And I thought, well, that's not me. I wouldn't do that. That might be something you do. But just because you're telling me to do it, I'm not going to fucking do it just because you want me to. Mm-hmm. You got to fight back about that. You got to be yourself. You got to be independent. So for that reason, Becky gets a couple demerits in my book.
Okay, well, you're a strong, independent man. Becky's clearly struggling with the stress this job puts her under. You know, she wants to be Anne Hathaway's girl, you know, and she's struggling with that because, you know, she, you know, isn't held in the same esteem. And that's something she's working towards.
Maybe if she had 50 more years of experience and had run a company for 40 years, then Anne Hathaway would think about giving her any morsel of fucking respect.
Well, I think, you know, it's sort of Anne Hathaway's flaw to overcome that she doesn't show her appreciation for all that Becky does. You know, because I think Ben points out that Becky is very capable and she's just overworked. You know, he says, it seems like Anne Hathaway just puts a lot on her plate. You know, Ben says, Becky can drive me, you know, and he's like, do we want to put more on Becky? And she's like, you're right. We do put a lot on Becky. You know, Becky's having a tough time.
So would you say that Ben is just helping Anne Hathaway realize that Anne Hathaway is a piece of shit?
I think he helps her grow as a person.
That's
just something
true.
That good friends and maybe even interns do.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you said one thing and I said a very similar thing, just in different words.
You keep calling everyone a piece of shit, but I just think, you know.
No. Not everyone.
Anne Hathaway and
Becky.
Yeah.
For that one thing, she was a piece of shit.
Yeah. See, I don't think someone becomes a piece of shit just because of this one thing, you know.
Well, she was being a piece of shit. Maybe she's not.
I think
okay.
The job starts early, you know. If you're going to be the intern, the job starts early, it turns out.
But, like, if Anne Hathaway and everyone else in this movie just woke up and thought, you know what, I'm not going to be a piece of shit today, then I think this movie would be much better.
Well, I think it rather than her just waking up and realizing that, over the course of the movie, she grows as a person and is better to people.
Is she?
Yeah. She's
How's her relationship with her mother at the end of the movie? How's her relationship with Andrew Rannells? Like, she gives...
I mean, her and Andrew Rannells get along well, you know?
No, she says... Andrew Rannells is like, look, you suck. We're trying to replace you. The investors want to replace you.
The investors want to replace her. He didn't say she sucked. She's like his other guy.
He's her guy? How many guys
he's her other guy. She has two. She needed the second one to turn
And
to.
Becky's her girl?
Becky
no, Becky's
wants
not
to
her
be
girl,
the girl.
Wants to be her girl.
Becky isn't quite her girl yet. Yeah, she's working towards that.
Yeah, I mean, seems like everyone in this movie is just head over heels for Anne Hathaway, inexplicably.
That
doesn't make sense to
makes
me.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Andrew Rannells is like, I'm not going to step in the way, the investors want to replace you. And then that culminates in her saying, no, I'm not going to be replaced, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, so fuck
everyone. No, she's open to it, and she meets with these people, and she even finds a guy she likes, and she's ready to let him do it.
No, she changes her mind.
Ben changes her mind.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, nothing gets accomplished. She's still
what
a piece
gets
of
accomplished?
Shit that's
going to
run her company right
person.
To the fucking ground.
She's a person who grew. That's accomplishing something.
What, she's like willing to entertain the idea of being replaced, but at the end of the day, she insists on being a piece of shit that doesn't want to be replaced?
How is she a piece of shit? She just wants
because
to run her company.
Because she treats everyone in her life like a piece of shit.
No,
that makes her a piece of shit.
Her husband is a real piece of shit, and she's openly accommodating to him. She's great with her daughter. She learns to appreciate her employees more.
So some growth, but still in the piece. Like, if you were to just rate a person from 1
she's
to 10,
great.
You know?
She's lovely.
She goes from a 1 to a 2. That's what you're saying?
No, see, you just, like, have this, like, real, like, hate boner for her. She's great. You know, she's overworked. She's doing her best. You know, she has flaws, and she
But if her
tries
best isn't good enough, then she's still a piece of
what
shit.
What do you mean good enough? What do you mean good enough?
Like, if you still treat Becky like shit, if you're still willing
to... She overworks Becky. That's what she does to Becky. You know, you're saying she treats her like shit. She overworks her, and she doesn't show her... She doesn't express her appreciation enough. You know, I know lots of people who don't express their appreciation enough. You know, they just silently have it. You know, yeah. And that might be a flaw, might not be, but, you know, she learns to do it because it's something Becky needs. You know, it's a personalized thing. You know? And she's willing to, you know, give up her company to save her marriage, and her husband tells her not to. And Ben tells her not to, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting how much she's willing to give up for this job. You know, give up this job that she built, this company, to save her marriage and save her relationship.
Save her marriage. I mean, this is just going to happen. Like, if this happened in 18 months, what are the chances Anders Holmvik, who's already done this, isn't going to cheat again in 6 months? Not going to happen. She's willing to give him another chance, which is, you know, that's a real noble thing, I guess. But I think it's just because she realizes that she's that shitty of a person. And
I don't think there's anything shitty. There's something shitty about him. I don't think she's done anything to him.
You don't think there's anything she did to Anders?
Doesn't seem like it. She just had a company that took off, you know?
And then she neglected her family for 18 months.
She did the best she could with this company that's growing very fast, you know? She tries to be around as much as she can. He had to take more of the parental role, and it seems like maybe that upset him. She's very grateful to him for doing that. She speaks very highly of him when he does that. She's appreciative of him.
If she turns out he was cheating. Goddamn involved in the details, right? Like, the pace at which this company is hiring employees, you think would permit her to not fucking be in the details, but instead she's just continually bogged down because it's what she enjoys. So if it's what she enjoys, then she is literally choosing to
neglect her family. As something's growing, she needs to make sure that it's growing without losing the things that make it successful.
I guess, and you should be able to get that done in a fucking 10-hour workday. Well, you don't need to goddamn stay up all night.
I think she's doing her absolute best, you know?
Yeah, and you have to give her that. Because if she weren't, in a world in which she weren't trying her best, then she just comes off as a huge piece of shit, start to finish.
I don't think she... See, I feel like you keep saying this. Does she, mm-hmm. though? What about her as a person, like, makes her a huge... She's disrespectful
of her elders. She's disrespectful
of her elders. Okay.
She sets up shitty bell ringing stuff for her employees. She rides a bike and makes her assistant run past it. She sends her interns to burglarize her mother's house. Like, how many fucking examples of being a piece of shit do you need? I don't give a fuck if they volunteer.
You think everyone's a piece of shit. She's just...
No, she's the big
piece of shit. She works too much. She's overworked.
Literally giving you concrete examples start to finish throughout the movie.
You said the bell ringing. You think the bell is goofy. The bike is goofy. That doesn't make someone a piece of shit.
You shouldn't allow a Pavlovian bell in your fucking place of employee. This is your company.
She's a bell and you celebrate. I like, you know, those little small rituals of celebration. You know, it's fun.
Okay.
You know, I think that would be fun to have in a thing. It's like something went well. Let's celebrate.
Okay. So you don't think she's a piece of shit for that?
No, I think she's super chill.
Okay, great. I mean...
And everyone seems to like her and respect her. They just think she's tough to work for.
I think they despise her. They're like, drew the short straw, you know? Oh, you got to be the fucking intern for her?
It's going to be tough.
Christ, yeah. Oh, shit. And they're like, you know,
in the moms at the pickup are very, you know, divisive towards her. She's clearly dealing with a lot of stuff, you know. She hates not being able to be, you know, as active as a parent as she used to be. But her business has taken off.
That's never explained.
What do you mean? What do you mean it's not explained?
Oh, is this something we can presume about her?
No, it's in the movie.
She regrets neglecting her family?
She's not neglecting her family. She just works a lot.
Yes, she's choosing to do fucking... customer service calls and literally watch real-time sales
data. That's
essential
to the success of the
business. Yeah, her efforts are misappropriated. You know, she needs to focus on...
How would you know? Have you ever grown an e-commerce company in 18 months?
No, I haven't.
Well, then I'll speak from a place of expertise. I think she's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Given that only one of us knows what we're talking about, I'll say she's doing a great job.
Yeah, and she's neglecting her family at the same time.
Well, it seems like her daughter seems to have a great relationship with her.
doesn't seem like a good trade-off to miss your daughter's recital or whatever in favor of doing customer service calls.
I think doing almost anything rather than going to a child's recital is a good trade-off. I don't know why schools have events for children.
I think
it seems like it's a thing just to fuck with the parents.
I think it's
no one has ever enjoyed going to the kids' play or the kids' sports game. That's just abusive to the parents.
Oh, I go to my nephew's sports game every Saturday.
Why make parenting so much worse by having all these like stupid activities you have to go to? The kids barely enjoy them. Just let the kids go home and play video games. They'd prefer it. No one wants to go to a kids' play.
I think it's something I regret about my family, because my family didn't really attend my sporting events.
They didn't come to your school plays?
No, but like I looked at my cousins and they attended one night of my musicals in each sophomore and junior year.
You were in a musical?
I was in musicals sophomore and junior year.
What musicals?
Regrettably. The Music Man and My Favorite Year.
Which one were you? What did you play?
I was the countertenor in The Music Man's Barbershop Quartet. And then I was, a few different cast members in My Favorite Year. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with those things. So I don't actually.
Yeah. They came to see them, but I looked at my cousins, and literally everyone in their family attended every single one of my cousins' lacrosse games. Huh. And I thought that was fun to have that sort of like familial support at each one of the events that they could make it to. Like if they didn't have
Dick
else.
I always told my parents not to come to my stuff.
Yeah, if they didn't have dick else going on, like they should be there to show support.
You know, I guess because I knew my parents were running businesses that they worked very hard at, and I understood that, you know, I didn't want to have them spend their time watching, you know, a little fat kid play football. Or
yeah, no, I'm happy to go to my nephew's sporting events because I want to show the support.
Well, you're
and
not
I think
running
a
growing e-commerce company, though. I guess you just have a regular 9-to-5, you're a real clock puncher over there.
Yeah. E-commerce takes up 108
it's
of 168 in a week.
People always saying e-commerce.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a lot of active involvement. It doesn't just sort of run itself. You know,
apparently
you got to be fielding customer service calls and actively evaluating.
You know, e-commerce people don't get nearly enough credit, people have been saying. You know? It's an underappreciated industry.
Yeah, like, I don't know, if I went to Disney on Ice with my nephews, you know, like I went to Paw Patrol Live with my niece and nephew.
I went to Disney on Ice.
Yeah,
and
it was
really
like
dumb.
Fucking terrible, but yeah. They loved it, and that's the point.
I actually don't think the kid cared that much.
When that kid's 10 years older, he'd be like, oh yeah, we fucking went to Paw Patrol. We went to Paw Patrol Live, and he's going to look back on that and be like, oh, that's cool.
He's probably going to look back and be like, I don't remember that at all, because I'm 3 and don't make memories that vividly.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not for a 3-year-old, but yeah. my nephew at the time was 5, so I'm hoping he remembers
Dog
that.
Man, too. I don't think he's going to remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I mean, maybe that's for your sister, though, you know?
She wasn't like, there.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but, like, she knew you went, and that's the point.
She might know I went.
You know, you showed support, and that was good. Like, you want to be the guy. You want to be her guy,
and I think
right?
Anne Hathaway struggles
guy.
With how much she wants to be there for her daughter, but she's having trouble balancing that. You know, she's trying to have it all, you know? And it's tough for a working parent. I mean, being a working parent is tough, I think, is what we're saying.
Definitely is. Definitely
it's a balancing
is.
Act, and I think she's, you know, we see that she's been struggling to find that balance. And over the course of the movie, she tries to work towards that.
I think struggling is a fucking understatement.
Maybe it is an understatement, yeah. And at the end of the movie, you know, she speaks with her husband and she yep. thinks about her, you know, her own, you know, priorities. And
then does what?
They decide to keep working at it.
They do exactly what she's doing at the beginning of the movie.
No, because they talk about his affair.
Yep.
And how she's willing to give everything up if it means saving their relationship. And he realizes he doesn't want her to be less of herself just to save the relationship.
Yeah, so when given the opportunity to make a healthy work-life balance decision, she chooses incorrectly.
No,
so
I don't think she
I think
does.
Across the movie, she's a poor decision maker.
I don't think she chooses incorrectly. I think she makes a good decision. You know,
good
she
decision
doesn't
to
have
continue
to
as...
sacrifice her professional, you know, success just because her husband, you know, wasn't doing his part. He needs, you know, he had the more successful career before, and he needs to take the hit for a little while, and I think that's what we understand.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I wish that she had grown more, you know, to actually realize the error of her ways and then go in a different direction rather than realize the error of her ways and continue fucking doing exactly what she was doing that led her to this, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, it turns out she was making the correct decision. She just needed, you know, the people around her. She needed the right support around her. And I think, you know, through Ben and then her husband sort of changing, she was able to get that.
She wasn't making the correct decisions. The decisions she made led to her life being in fucking shambles.
Well, she has a very successful business and a great intern and a lovely little child.
She did nothing to fucking foster a relationship with her goddamn intern. She did. Like, he's a good guy.
He's a
good
guy.
That's the best.
You know, and he respected what she was doing. He says that to the other parents about how cool she was.
He respected what she was doing.
Yeah.
Well, then he's fucked up. I no longer think he's wise, because if he views her and says, I respect her and I think she's doing a good job in balancing her work life, why would he feel the need to intervene and say, you need to treat Becky better? Why would he intervene and say...
Well, sometimes you can respect people and still think they have room to grow, Tink.
She's got much room to fucking grow.
She has some room to grow.
And she's
like,
completely unrespectable.
I think many of us do.
Yeah, no, I think he's just blind. I think he might be, I don't know.
I think he treats people with a lot of grace, and I think that's
one of his
admirable qualities.
And fuck, does she need it?
She needs a little grace in this moment.
I think a little grace.
That's one of the themes of this movie, is she needs to be treated with a little grace during this time.
Yeah, no, she gets a goddamn continent's worth of fucking grace, and she doesn't deserve it.
And it's good that she does, because it turns out well for everybody.
Does it?
I think so.
6 months later, my husband's going to be cheating on her. Her
daughter
is going to
realize
that the fucking marriage is in shambles.
He's really learned. And I think that's, you know, part of the way they deal with problems. You know, when Ben, you know, not being confrontational, I think was sort of interesting with both the driver and the husband. You know?
She's going to get fired. Like, it's going to be a hostile takeover from the investors. They're going to be like, you got to get the fuck out.
I don't think she's going to be fired. I think she's going to manage... She's going to manage, because now she has the right support. She has Ben and she has her husband on her side. You know, it turns out all she needed was the right support.
We tried to do this amicably. We tried to get you to step down, to retire with dignity, and you resisted because you're a bullheaded piece of shit. You know, we should have predicted this. So now we're just going to have to dismiss you
I think the success of the company is going to cause them to understand that she brings an enormous amount of value.
Are you shitting me?
Absolutely not.
You fold the fucking paper like this and, you know, just be willing to take a real Amazon sales approach and just say, we'll give you a full refund and remedy the issue right away. Like, okay, so just, you know, bolstering customer service and you know, recommending that you do so in a really unprofitable way in order to save the soul of the company.
From a customer service point of view, sort of e-commerce-wise... Sometimes you have to, you know, take a hit on an individual sale because, you know, repeat customers are so important.
Yeah, for sure. You want your Google reviews to fucking stay peak, you know? Yeah, but that's not, it's not critical for her to remain a part of the company. So 6 months from now, she's going to be dismissed for cause. Her husband's going to continue cheating on her. Her daughter's going to fucking hate her. Ben's going to have died.
I mean, if
so
we're just making stuff up,
day.
We can make stuff up.
Yeah, why don't we? Because you've been doing it the whole fucking time. You're making stuff up that Anne Hathaway's not a piece of shit.
I don't think I'm just assessing her actions differently. You're making stuff up out of the future. You're saying 6 months from now, a bunch of stuff you made up, but I don't think any of that's necessarily the case. Can we just say things? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, that's all we do. Just say words, words, words. One of the questions I had, Becky at some point had to be informed that the building they're in is actually the company from the phone book printing press that he worked for 40 years. So he's literally back in the same building that he used to be in, and he can point out, like, oh, yeah, that was where my desk is. Why didn't Becky know that it used to be a phone book building, you know?
I mean...
How's that possible?
I don't know what buildings I worked in have done in the past. Is there something called a phone... Like, would you know when you've been in a phone book building?
No. But, I mean, if it's a former factory, I'd be like, oh, what this building used to be? Yeah, you wouldn't be intellectually curious about that? You wouldn't be like,
oh,
well, I wonder how this building came
before?
To be? Yeah. Like, oh, this is an old fire station. That's cool as shit.
If something looked like a fire station, I might know what that is, but...
Oh, yeah, that's weird. It's weird, like, there's these windows that overlook the floor down there. That's weird, and I wonder why they built that. Oh, it's because this used to be a fucking factory for printing phone books that's just, you know, a relic of the past. Like, how does that not... How a conversation not come up in the goddamn, let me give you a tour of the building, you know? Let me show you where the bathroom is. I don't think they have a coffee bar because they hate their employees, you know? It's a real open concept, shittily designed startup. But yeah, in any sort of building tour, why would they not say this used to be a phone book company? I guess because Adam Devine is a recent hire within the first 6 months, and they just neglected to tell him. It's a failure of communication. So let's add that to her plate. She's a bad decision maker. She's got poor top-down communication. She's just the world's worst CEO.
I don't think she's the worst CEO. They're one of my executive company.
Yeah. So anyway, one of the concepts introduced early on is that she loves efficiency and doesn't like wasting time, right? But then, like, throughout the movie, she just completely abandons that concept. Right?
What concept does she abandon?
Not wasting any time. Like, having a really rigid schedule. She relaxes it to the point where she's completely inefficient, and she's willing to just eat almonds on a bed and make a Facebook profile with Ben late at night. And, you know, this whole ruse of efficiency is just a way for her to maintain distance between herself and her employees.
I don't think that's the case. I think when they're on a business trip, she allows herself to relax a little bit after they've been woken up by a fire alarm. And as she's working late in the office, she sits and eats with him, and they take a couple moments for her to, you know, connect with an employee, which is part of her growth over time, is learning to connect with her employees more.
Yeah.
Are you just confused by the concept of character growth?
No.
Because you're like, at the beginning of the movie, she does one thing, and at the end of the movie, she does a different thing. And this is why it's inconsistent somehow. It's like, yeah, that's the growth.
That's not admirable growth. That's not desire.
Why? Why is it not growth?
What? No, it's just, it's something that was described about the character.
She's taking time to connect with her.
True.
Both those instances you describe are her connecting with her employee, her, you know, talking with a friend, someone she's come to respect. You know, you talk about at the beginning, she's not very respectful towards Ben. Over time, she learns to respect him and, you know, takes his counsel seriously. And it benefits her.
Yeah. Yeah, she has time to drink with her employees, whose name
right.
she
after
doesn't
they,
know.
After they do the task that you know, the burglary you were speaking about earlier,
yep.
She goes out with them and tells them how much she appreciates that. And yeah, absolutely. She finds some time to appreciate her employees.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at my notes and what a piece of shit. Comes up, like, I don't know, 6 times.
Yeah, I think that's, like, your own thing, though. I think that's, like, a you thing. I don't think that's actually a her thing. I think she's, like, a normal person, and you're just judging her very, very harshly. Because she, like, does normal stuff. She just works a lot. You know? Have you never worked a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I've had my instances where I work a lot and,
you know, like we know people who have worked a lot and, you know, it's affected their personal relationships, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think that makes them a piece of shit. It's just something they have to deal with. You know, they have to find times to prioritize. They have to figure out what to do with their time. You know, they don't always make the right decisions or decisions we like, but I don't think that makes them a piece of shit.
That's not what's happening here.
That's not what's happening here? What's happening
here? I mean, she's a piece of shit toward her employees.
She's not as appreciative of them as she could be.
Yeah.
She's exacting in what she wants, but she's not... She doesn't yell. She doesn't insult them. She just wants to make sure things are done. She's having difficulty managing the growth of the company. She's having, you know, a tough time, you know, because of the growth, having to be less hands-on with things.
And is unwilling to accept help. Like, Andrew Rannells presents an opportunity for her to get her life back on track.
Well, she does accept help, though.
She entertains it. Like, that's the only growth.
She accepts help, she just doesn't choose to no longer be the CEO.
Yeah, so she's a power-hungry...
She's power-hungry because she wants to run the company she started?
Poorly, yeah.
Holy, they've been... Look at how much growth they've had in 18 months. They have 219 employees.
Yeah. Wasting all the investors' money.
Wasting the investors' money. They're having record sales, you know?
Yeah.
They've just revamped their entire advertising strategy due to this, you know, elderly senior intern plan, you know? She's getting advice from all different places. It's a real innovative strategy.
So, I mean, at some point, right, you mentioned that he tells the driver, hey, I saw you drinking.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be the driver now, yeah. Right? I guess he's just the full-time driver. So he's literally willing to go from at least business professional office intern to no more than a goddamn chauffeur.
Oh, he's her chauffeur. Yeah, that's a
he's her guy. Yeah, I know that. But he's willing to like overstep some boundaries because he was explicitly told knock on the door and walk away, which is something else that happens in Devil Wears Prada. Like, put the fucking book on the goddamn counter and walk away.
Well, he tries to, and then the husband invites him in.
Yeah, probably because the husband's like, look, I can't handle this person
anymore.
And he
struggles in that moment with it. You can see him being like, you know, I was told to walk away, you know, but he was invited in. And then Anne Hathaway's a little bit uncomfortable with that. And, you know, Rob De Niro is, you know, polite to the family, but is definitely struggling with, you know, that boundary being crossed. I mean, Robert De Niro is the one who's most uncomfortable with the, you know, professional, personal boundaries, you know, being crossed, but he's, you know, trying to navigate that. He's, you know, because he's a sort of old school rigid guy, and I think that sort of makes it interesting, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, we learn that Anders or Matt is cheating on Anne Hathaway, which is,
yes.
I don't know, expected.
I didn't really expect it.
Given the wholesale neglect that Anne Hathaway...
Doesn't seem like wholesale neglect. You know, she tries to get him to go on the business trip with her. He doesn't want to. She tries to sleep with him. He's too tired. I mean, you know, she's trying to, you know, nurture the relationship in the ways she can with the company growing. And, you know, he's pulling away, you know, maybe because, you know, he sort of has issues with giving up his career. Maybe just because... A different thing, but
he's reached a breaking point and can no
longer
handle the abuse and neglect.
It did take him long, though. It only took 18 months, and he's already reached a breaking point.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying that Matt is in the right here. I'm just saying that Anne Hathaway is still wrong.
Still wrong to do what, though?
Be a piece of shit. Just go about her life.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if she were doing that, she would be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. After that, Ben sees it, and he's just, like, flustered, and everyone, it's to the point where it's noticeable around his employees,
which
doesn't really seem like the stoic, altogether sort of guy you were describing earlier. I mean,
I think this is interesting, right, because it's a conflict between being her guy and her confidant, and his, you know, sort of inclination towards discretion, not knowing how to approach this issue with her because he sort of happened upon something that's embarrassing to her personal life. Doesn't know, you know, if she knows about this, he's, you know, sort of doesn't know how to approach it. And, you know, it really weighs on him, obviously. And I think people
really weighs
that.
On him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, sweating
I think it would weigh on me.
Can't
can,
make
you,
eye contact
can you imagine
with
if you knew of something and you weren't sure if you should tell a friend/coworker, you know, I think that would weigh on you.
I think you should immediately tell him without any sort of apology. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Nothing to dance around.
Well, I mean, I think he was struggling with that because, you know, it's a professional relationship. It's his boss. You know, he's not sure what he's supposed to be saying.
Crazy. Crazy to me.
You know.
It's not a struggle at all.
Well,
very
it was a
clear,
struggle for him, you know, because he's come from a different generation. I think that's part of the, you know, sort of
but
the,
one of
ad,
the one
ethos
of
discretion, I think, is... You know, like he also could have told her the guy was drinking, you know, but he doesn't. He's just you know, that's sort of the way he solves problems is different and
deceptively.
Well, I don't know if it's deceptively. It's discreetly.
Yeah. But like literally one of the pieces of advice in the movie is that he says it's never wrong to do the right thing. And the right thing in that instance is to go to Jules and say, hey, yeah, sorry, I witnessed your husband getting in the car with another woman. Not sure what to do with that, but, you know, best of luck.
Well, I think he was trying to figure out what he thought the right thing was. I don't think he had a clear right thing, and he was choosing not to do it. I mean, I think that's what I would have done. But I don't know. I think it was difficult for him. You know, she's already expressed, you know, sort of issues with their level of, you know, personal closeness. And I think, you know, he's trying to manage that, you know, how much, you know, something he saw completed by accident and he wasn't sure, you know, what he should do. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason I wrote that down is because they were able to pick up on it, which didn't seem evident at first, but then he started wiping his glasses off and I guess it translated eventually. Yeah. Oh, and then the pinnacle, like, as they're sitting on the bed, right. And mm-hmm. she's coming on to him.
I don't know.
She's like, what?
I don't know if I describe her as coming on to him.
Yeah, watch it again.
They have a platonic... Are you just, like, uncomfortable with platonic, you know, friendships?
No, I think I understand how professional relationships should
work.
Yes,
but this is a platonic friendship.
After a week?
I think it's been much longer than a week at this point.
2 weeks?
No, it's been a while at this point.
How do you know?
Because the guy came to live with him and has been living with him for a while.
Yes, he had 2 weeks to find a place. So we can presume that it's been 3 weeks over the course of the movie?
I think it's been a few months at this point.
Fuck no. There's no way.
No way? I think it has. I think that was sort of my understanding, is there's a passage of time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why would the investors entertain her hanging on for a couple more months if they're looking for a CEO?
I don't think they're in that much of a rush, you know?
Oh, because she's doing a stand-up job.
She's doing a great job, yeah.
Yeah.
They're just worried about managing the growth as they continue to grow.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I think I have an appreciation for how a professional relationship should function.
This is a platonic friendship, you know, that isn't just a professional relationship. You know, it's crossed into a friendship at this point.
It's pretty quick, but
well, sometimes
if you say
so, people just make friends, you know, people make friends quickly.
If you say so. I mean, they have nothing in common.
People need to have things in common with their friends.
I think
people
they at least
that.
Need to have shared
values.
Like,
I don't
values.
Think I have anything in common with any of my friends.
I think they at least need to have shared values. That's what links friends, you know?
I think they have a mutual respect, an admiration for each other.
Yeah, there's no mutual respect here. There's
I think
no
there
admiration
is mutual
on
respect,
behalf.
Especially at this point. I think they've grown to respect each other and care for each other.
No, I think she's dismissive and derisive and, you know,
in the
completely
movie,
disrespectful.
That's what you think? You just said she was coming on to him and all this stuff.
Well, that's because she's a horn dog that's not getting
she's
any
a horn dog. That's how you characterize this character? Is a horn dog asshole,
she's not
whatever.
Getting any from Durs.
She's
he's
a
banging
shit. Oh,
some
God.
Other mom from the school.
And you think she's trying to sleep with Robert De Niro in this scene?
She's just she's, you know, looking for some sort of human contact because she, you
yeah,
know,
in a
non-sexual
completely... way.
Mm.
She's looking for yeah. a friend.
But anyway, the scene results yep. in her saying something like, I just want somebody to be buried next to.
Yeah, she
and like
wanna...
as soon as
she doesn't want to be buried alone.
Doesn't want to be buried alone. And like yeah. as soon as she said that, I was like, oh, fuck. Is he going to literally offer to have her be buried next to him? And that's exactly where the scene goes. So, like, this
it's sort
dude...
of like the next moment. It's not like he had this, like, long-standing prediction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It okay. wasn't like a beginning of the movie, then an end of the movie. It was literally the same scene.
It was
but
like
it's just the, like...
But she was like, I'm afraid of being right alone. And he was like, yeah, no problem. I got you. Do you know why? Because he's her guy, though.
He's her guy.
He's
yeah.
a problem solver.
He... is stupid as far
Why
as
is
I
he
know.
Stupid. He's so
he's
sweet.
He's so fucking dumb.
He's
I mean,
sweetheart.
He's doing this internship. Why doesn't if he's willing to bend over backwards for a huge piece of shit, then why doesn't he put all of these efforts toward his progeny or like go do some volunteer work for a noble
likes
cause
and respects
instead
her.
Of this piece of
he
shit
respects what
that
she's
runs
doing.
This shitty startup
he
clothing
her.
Company?
It like, seems like a fucking, successful startup.
What e-commerce clothing company could be doing noble shit? Like, there's just no chance, you know? Like, if you have all the time in the world and want to do good, don't try to save this clearly lost soul who has marginal fucking character growth over the course of the goddamn month of this movie, right?
You thought it was like 3 days a second ago, so I don't know.
No, I'm just now taking your interpretation.
Okay, we can take my interpretation.
So after months,
well, my interpretation
has
a lot
marginal
of character growth over the time. So you can't. It's sort of selectively taking my interpretation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So sure.
What I do.
Okay,
So anyway, yeah, like, he could have just been fucking bolstering a soup kitchen this whole time, and that would have positively impacted
maybe
so many
doing
more lives in the interim.
We don't know what he does with the...
He's sitting around reading a fucking newspaper
for
14 hours a day waiting
for the... He does Tai Chi in the park, you know, we don't know what he does with his non-work time.
He eventually realizes, like, that's the end of the movie, right? He goes, he takes a day off from entertaining this chore of a person.
This lovely,
to go fucking,
hard-working woman, yep.
He resorts back to the shit at the beginning of the movie that he was like, oh my god, my life is so fucking boring.
And he's finding a balance.
I gotta do goddamn Tai Chi in the park.
He's
he
finding
has
a work-life balance, yeah.
No, he's done with the internship. At the end, he's like, this girl's fucking helpless. She's clearly not
That's
growing
That's not
whatsoever.
What happens at the end of the... You're just saying a different thing than what happens. That's not what happens.
And he goes, I gotta take a day off to get away from this piece of shit, right? I conclusively know
his,
that she
his
is a bad
very
person.
Close friend who he loves and respects.
Nope. And then he's like, I'm gonna go do the boring shit at
the
beginning of the movie.
In the movie, he loves and respects her.
I'm gonna go back to the park and do fucking Tai Chi with old Patty, yep. Right? Old horn dog Patty. And because that, to me, I finally know conclusively that Anne Hathaway's worthless the company and internship endeavor was a complete fucking waste of time. It was like fun while it lasted. I hope to have made a positive contribution, despite the fact that there's a mountain of evidence to the contrary.
Okay. It's worth noting that none of this happens in the movie.
What are you talking about?
This is just a thing you're saying.
She comes in, she's
he
like,
doesn't
where's my
have
bitch?
All these realizations you're just making up. He
no,
literally
comes,
just went to do Tai Chi, and she comes to see him. And
takes
he's
a
like,
vacation day. Takes a vacation
yeah, he
day.
Takes
what
a day off.
What would have possibly do that? Yeah, you can't take a day off as a fucking intern, and if you do,
it turns
like,
out
why
he
would
can.
You... Like, that just leads to her being another piece of shit. She tracks him down in the park, and she's like, nah, you're my guy now.
She
I
wanted to tell
you.
Him that she took his advice.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Oh, wait. She did take his advice to stay with the company?
Yeah.
That was his advice. Yeah, so he is stupid.
Why is he stupid?
Because he's advocating that she do things then in the worst interest of the company.
No, the if best the, interest, because he says that no one is going to do the little things the way she does them. No one's going to care as much as she does. And
yes,
I think
you're
that's,
right.
I think if you're someone who started a company, you recognize that that's often true. It's hard to
that's
find
people.
That's
not the role of a CEO.
It seems like it's her role in the company.
So he's naive. He's a stupid company man.
He's stupid
was just
too. Everyone's
mundane...
stupid except Tank, yeah. It seems like.
He was just doing some mundane shit for 40 years, never actually ran a company of his own, has some semblance
of
business acumen,
but can't identify... This guy was a successful manager of a phone book company.
But
I think
he was
you're...
not the CEO
now,
of a phone
now
book company.
Now you're belittling his career. He owns a brownstone in New York. He obviously did quite well for himself.
I don't know what the fuck a brownstone is
it's
in New York.
It's a very
York,
expensive
but...
house in New York.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. So he was overpaid, established, and he
does it not bother you that your interpretation requires making up so much shit? Does that not like throw you for a loop at all? You know, like maybe it's a little weird that like I just made up half of this stuff to support my interpretation of the movie.
You know what? I will admit that it would have bothered me more prior to us recording the episode of Why Him.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. But then after that, the gloves are off, you know?
Because that was
I
a bad
no
movie.
Problem.
This is such a lovely, beautiful movie.
I have no problem fabricating all sorts of shit
Wait,
in order
that,
to characterize this
me
movie
of fabricating
as a piece
things?
Of shit. Yes.
What do you mean? In what way?
Go back and listen to Why
was,
Him and then watch the movie.
What was fabricated?
It's just, it's unfounded, unsupported.
Unfounded? What was unfounded, unsupported?
It's wild fucking haymakers that
you know,
don't
want,
land.
For the next episode, I want a list of... We're going to start off the episode with a list of all the things you think I made up and why him.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you couldn't point to concrete examples in that episode of why
I pointed
certain
to
things...
quite You just made wild accusations. That's what you're doing. You're making stuff up that's sort of contradicted by the text of this movie.
I'm trying to understand the characters.
I don't think you're trying to understand the characters. I think you have an interpretation of the characters, and you're trying to force that on, you know, your view.
And Ben, at the end of the movie, realizes that maybe this company's not for him, and that Anne Hathaway is helpless. So he just goes back to do Tai Chi in the park. He's going to kill himself. He's just going to go kill himself in a couple years because he doesn't want to be a part of his son's life or his grandchildren's lives.
That doesn't seem to be what he's doing.
It's crazy.
He's sort of enjoying Tai Chi in the park. He has a relationship with a woman he met at the company. He has a new friend in Anne Hathaway.
And then she just wants to continue being
the CEO.
Yeah, and she won't let Ben take a vacation day. He just wants to be left alone doing Tai Chi in the park with his old friends, right, who he's been neglecting. And
neglecting.
He realizes he's been neglecting.
He's had something else in his life. He was excited. You know, when his friend called, he's like, Ben's got a job. He was happy. He was, you know.
Yeah, he hasn't been doing his Tai Chi. They've been texting him saying, when are you going to show up for Tai Chi again?
And now he's like, doing both. Now
he's like, nah, I'm married to the job. I'm staying at the office reading the newspaper for 14 hours a day.
He found a new balance. What do you want from him?
It's terrible.
Why is it terrible that he found something else to add to his life?
Well, I feel bad for Ben. I don't feel
bad
for Anne Hathaway. She brought it to
herself. Wrong with Ben?
I feel bad for
Ben. Has
Anders
a girlfriend.
A little
he has
bit.
Friends. He has hobbies. He has a job.
I really feel bad for JoJo Kushner, Paige, the daughter, because she's got two pieces of shit for parents.
She seems very happy with. She seems to have a lovely relationship with both her parents.
She's a really precocious youngster.
I actually think this
she
is one of the best
darndest
child.
Things.
This is one of the best child actors. She was very cute.
Very cute. She does say some shit that you're just like. A 5-year-old shouldn't say that, but
yeah,
she's very
pleasant. She doesn't like drag anything down. I think she's a great child actor in this.
I would agree. Way to go, JoJo Kushner.
JoJo
you are
Kushner.
The one redeeming thing about this movie.
That's ridiculous. This movie is buoyed by incredible performances from its leads.
Yeah. Where are we going next? What other points did you have?
I don't know. Did you want to make some more stuff up, or do you have anything that actually happened in the movie? Where are we at?
No, that was the end of the movie. I mean, if you want to postulate, I don't know, maybe Bumper cheating on his girlfriend, who's a coworker.
I actually don't think we need to make up any more stuff. So if you've said everything you need to say.
No, he literally did that. He literally did that. He slept with Becky's roommate.
I don't think they were dating. I don't think they were dating at the time.
You don't think they were dating?
I don't think, no.
Why would Becky have been so upset about it then?
I think she was just upset because he slept with her friend.
If they had put a end to their relationship, then what?
Well, I think they had sort of a casual hookup in the past, and then he slept with her friend, and she was upset about it.
Okay. Can we talk about how many other boners Rene Russo gave to the employees of About the Fit?
I don't know if we had any more in the text of the film.
Yeah, could you imagine if 2 weeks after meeting this wise old 70-year-old intern for your company, if he said, like, just complaining to him incessantly and worrying about your personal shit, like, where are you going to live in 2 weeks? And then eventually he said, I'll put you up for a few weeks while you find a place. Like, why would you accept that? I wouldn't.
That was very nice of him.
That's insane. It's insane to me. Like, yeah, I get that you would welcome your friends into your house, but not your coworker who you've known for 2 weeks. And especially, like, if you're in Aaron's perspective, right? This guy is willing to come to the company and just sit all day reading a fucking newspaper like a psychopath. Why would you be willing to go live with him? Clearly, he's unhinged.
So your issue is that he reads the newspaper at work?
No, he's willing to go to his job and do nothing. It's an unpaid internship, so you say. Don't want to read into anything. Did you make that up?
I said we don't know. You know, it doesn't seem to be paid. They don't mention any pay.
Well, okay. Well, I think we can presume that it's unpaid because Anne Hathaway is a piece of shit. So,
well, she
know,
didn't seem she didn't seem to start
thing.
The program. So,
yeah. But, I mean, she is the CEO. She has the authority to say we should pay our interns, like, as a policy. So whether or not there's an elderly intern program and she's sanctioned that versus a regular intern program.
So it may or may not be a paid internship.
I believe it to be an unpaid internship, like you said.
Well, now you believe that. For some reason, you didn't believe that at the beginning. So
I'm just saying you made it up, but I'll go along with it.
You're coming full circle on this one.
So yeah, like if you see somebody is willing to sit at an unpaid internship and just read the newspaper for 14 hours a day instead of going to literally do anything else productive in their life, like wouldn't you assume that person might have some mental problems?
If someone came into work and read a newspaper, no, I don't think I'd make that jump.
Okay. Do you think you're allowed to have ageist internships?
I think you can do an elderly intern. I think you're not allowed to discriminate against people who are older than 40, but I think you can actually do it the other way.
That seems flawed.
Well, you should look into some, reforms for that, I guess.
Yeah, just get our retirees who have done everything they hope to accomplish in their life and go put them to work, reading the newspaper, and just shitting on them all day and being huge pains in the ass.
Right, I guess you could do that.
Yeah.
This made-up thing.
I mean, if I wanted to be a tech mogul, e-commerce, success story, I guess I'd do that.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, if you don't have anything else, I don't have much else.
No, so would you recommend this movie?
Would I recommend this movie? I don't think so. I guess if you wanted to be irate after 2 hours and 12 minutes, then yeah, maybe you should go watch this movie.
I think it's 2 hours and 1 minute long. I don't know what you're going
to do. But if you wanted to enjoy yourself and maybe not be infuriated, then you should not watch this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Failure from start to finish. The characters in it are really unlikable with the exception of, I guess Anne Hathaway is the pinnacle unlikable character. Weird sex scenes. Weird sexual scenes. So if that's your thing, you should watch it. I don't know. Casting could have been better. I think if Anne Hathaway
casting
were replaced,
could not have been better.
If Anne Hathaway were replaced with somebody who's I don't know who a better casting choice would be, but maybe somebody who's not so blah. Blah. Like just meh. Just a nothing, just a real.
That's how you see
individual.
Anne Hathaway in this movie?
Yeah. I do think it's fun that this movie is sort of like an inverse Devil Wears Prada, which we drew some comparisons to, but I think Devil Wears Prada is just like a 10 times better movie because Meryl Streep
is
a much
better
actress.
This is what? No. Meryl Streep is, I think, I don't know what people get out of her, to be honest.
And Anne Hathaway is just like, the character that she should be, which is the. 22-year-old know nothing who has no appreciation for fashion, but is still hardworking and intelligent. So I think in that version of the movie it works. So they successfully did it 10 years before this one, and then they tried to flip the script and they brought in Robert De Niro to try to save the day. Yeah, I know they're different movies, but they're both clothing companies. You have a CEO that's sort of or. Head of the department or head of the company that is tough to work for. So I don't know, there's some similarities there, but this one just doesn't work for me. I'd recommend you go watch Devil Wears Prada. It's a great movie, real fun.
That's a fine movie.
Yeah. But this one, no. I mean, it did get a 7.1 on IMDb and a 60% Rotten Tomatoes, so comparably reviewed for Rush Hour 2, not too much better. Sort of in the same vein from a critic's perspective.
Decent amount better, I think. Much better movie, obviously.
Yeah, so I'd say this is a nephew for a variety of reasons. Didn't enjoy it. Wouldn't recommend it.
Well, obviously I have a different opinion. I think this is one of my favorite movies of all time. I think the lead performances are just incredible, just ruthlessly charming. It's just chock full of likable characters. Anne Hathaway, I think, gives a performance that I don't think it's a singular performance. I don't think anyone else could have given it. Really, a great, great exploration of characters, I think. Very comfortable movie. It's 2 hours long. It's a breezy. It goes right by. You know, it's fun. It's light. It's, you know, there's not real conflict. And I think that's nice. You know, I think it's like, it just, it's entertaining, you know, and it's comfortable and it makes you feel good. I think it's like a real interesting look at what movies could do, you know? There's no real spectacle. There's not a lot of conflict. It's just about actors being charming and characters, you know, growing and relating to each other. And I think it's really lovely, I think. So, I love it. I think everyone should watch it. Definitely Uncle for me. One of my, like, you know, five favorite movies.
Really?
So, yeah.
How many times would you say you've seen this?
A few dozen.
Yeah. I guess if you can suspend all the negative qualities about Anne Hathaway's character, then you could watch this more than a couple times. But I'm unwilling to overlook those.
Yeah, well, you know. What can you do, right? Okay, well, I think that's up for us.
All right. Fue, 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 fue!